The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
John Schneider here playing some air guitar to his open. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? We got the President of Football Operations and General Manager of your Seattle Seahawks, John Schneider, here for the aptly named John Schneider Show. How are you, man?
Good. Good to see you guys. I'm mad at you guys. I was thinking about this morning.
Why?
4 o'clock. Yeah, 4:06. I woke up. And last week, you guys were like, so everything's going. You guys sleeping good? Are your sleep habits good? Everything's fine? I'm like, yeah, I'm great. Why? And then this morning it happened, and I'm like, those guys.
We planted
it. It was like, you guys. It was like, yeah, you were in my head. And then I woke up early, and I could get back to sleep. I'm like,
sorry about that, man. We don't realize our power at times.
If we could get in your head, though, we'd want to know, you know, who you're picking.
Yeah, do you want to tell us?
That's what we really want. I wish I'd worn my olive drab green shirt today.
We're like the two best friends that anybody's ever had.
This show is shifting.
It's supposed to be three Pearsons.
I've seen him out more than I've seen you now. I've bumped into my man twice now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I heard about one of them.
Yeah.
We'll talk later.
We'll leave that one alone.
Yeah.
Off air.
So let's talk about the biggest story that seems to be going on in the building, which is, I guess, the removal of pictures or banners or whatever was going on there.
Picture gate.
Yeah, there's a lot of reaction. You're not on not on social media, but there's a lot of reaction as
I've
might
been filled
imagine.
In a little bit, yeah.
Tell us what led to it. Were you part of it? Was it something you'd been thinking of?
No, just total look right outside the team room to the indoor facility.
Yeah.
A lot of, pictures and, slogans from, from Pete's tenure here, like all the stuff we did together last, 14 years, awesome. But celebrating our history is like all over this building. Mm-hmm. And so we're going a little more digital too. So we're going to have, these things are like kind of falling apart off the walls here and stuff too. So we're going more digital. We're going to have TVs up. We'll talk to Chuck about it this morning, actually. TVs up and just kind of like celebrating the Dave Wyman tackles, if you will, or the face masks in the hole. The Kurt Warner runs and the Sean Alexanders and the Coach Holmgrens and the Coach Carrolls and the whole thing. But, right when you walk around the corner from the indoor facility, we have, the plates of every player that's played here and the pictures from all the guys, like more recent guys and all that. So, and really in Mike's mind, it's kind of a, hey, we're celebrating history, guys, get that. But we're going to make up our own. We're not coming in here with certain slogans and, leadership mottos and that sort of thing. We're going to build our own as a team. And so I think the players really embraced it. And, listening to Leo the other day, I thought he said it great. Hey, we're totally going to respect the past and everything that's happened here. And, we got to move forward. I've been in Green Bay and Kansas City and the Redskins. So you see, it's a young franchise, 1976.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're in those other franchises, there's areas that, they have a kind of a Hall of Fame area, and then they're celebrating they're kind of building their own story as they go. I think we did it with Coach McCarthy in Green Bay too. This is a special area. Let's build our own history, and that's basically it.
Yeah, I went in there.
It's not like, hey, get out of here.
Yeah,
we're moving in now.
Why do you hate your successful
years?
Step aside.
No.
Yeah, I went down to check, make sure my plaque's still up.
It is.
Yeah. When I heard
you should have pulled his down. It should have been the only one missing. That would have been
great. I think Eric Metcalf would have pulled it down last week if he could have. I saw that picture. I was like, holy smokes.
Did he send that to you?
Yeah, he sent it to me.
Eric, if you're listening, I'm sorry. It was an accident.
It looked bad.
It totally was.
Yeah,
it looked bad.
It looked like an accident.
Looked like The Exorcist.
Yeah, I showed that picture to DK, and he looks at me and goes, that's a penalty, man.
Yeah. So anyway, the picture thing, I get it.
One of the pictures, you were in one of the pictures, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Did you fight to keep that one up?
That's the only one left.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's the only way we left up there. No, they're all down, man.
Yeah.
There's a couple, in the background of, we're, jumping up, and, everybody's celebrating and everything.
But there's
probably a couple where I'm, you can see me, yelling at referees and stuff when I'm not supposed to be in the background.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But, no, those are iconic pictures. It'll be all over the place and throughout the building. It's amazing.
This went fast. A week
from now. I know. There's only one more.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just one.
There could be more. It's up to you. Your call. We're happy to talk to you whenever you want.
As many as you want. But so
Dave's over there going, yeah, there's one more.
Yeah. So where are you at as far as preparation, this phase of pre-draft preparation?
Yeah, we scraped the board for the fourth time with the scouts. So we got done with that Tuesday. And then yesterday we had basically a free agent day, which is, you know, studying all the guys that our staff deems as not, you know, probably not getting drafted or may not get drafted that we can focus on recruiting to a certain extent. And then tomorrow we'll start with the offensive staff. Saturday we'll go with the defensive staff. Sunday we'll have a review of differences. And then Monday, Tuesday will basically be Mike and myself.
What'd you say, differences?
Differences from coaches to scouts. Mm-hmm. So if once they come in, you know, we kind of adjust, like, okay, well, they feel a little bit differently about this player or that player, and, like, by position. We'll, like, we'll kind of, like, shift them. We tilt them up, tilt them down, and then it's further discussion. Like, oh, that's a good point. Maybe we should go back, watch this. Maybe we should watch a certain cut-up. Maybe we should watch a certain game, a certain matchup. What have we missed? Maybe, you know, they've enlightened us on a new scheme or role fit and that sort of thing. So we'll adjust off of that. And then Monday and Tuesday is really about the two of us just going through and saying, hey, player A, player B, player C, C, D, all the way through from, one through seven. And then, Wednesday night, Tuesday, Wednesday's a lot of, you know, phone talk with all the guys upstairs, all the other clubs, who's moving where, who wants to move. And we've had, you know, general calls in that regard, but you don't necessarily get into negotiating quite yet.
That's exactly what I was just going to ask you about, because you were in such a unique position last year sitting at five. I would imagine you got a lot more calls coming your way, a lot more people testing to see if you wanted to move, if not. When does that start?
Yeah,
does
we
start
like the now? Spot. What's that?
When do those calls start? When do people start inquiring about your...
A couple days ago.
Seeing these stories about, you know, the Patriots director scouting. We're open for business.
Yeah.
And then the GM from the Chargers. Well, we're open, but we need to be blown away. They're putting it out there that we're ready. Are the calls already starting?
Yeah, we've noticed that a lot of teams lately have wanted to kind of get things done before. But we've never really operated in that manner. So you're basically, when that happens, you're basically listening to, you know, philosophically, if we want to come up to 16 or, you know, if you guys want to come from 16 up to whatever, you know, this is what we'd be thinking. And then so you can just say, you can kind of like take them off your list or, you know, whatever. We're not even going to mess if we're not even close.
But is that a couple weeks before the draft?
That's like probably like last, I'd say about 5 days ago, that really kind of kicked in. Yeah. So this is Thursday, so yes.
This may be a question like, you know, naming your favorite child, but like, is there a position that you feel particularly confident about? Like your analysis, the way you guys approach it over the years, that you're like, I feel really good about my analysis of this position, whether it's a guard or a linebacker or edge rusher.
Did you say guard first?
I did.
Weird.
Weird because I'm right.
You guys looking at any guards?
Saying you need a guard.
Not looking at any guards.
I'm not clever enough to do that.
Stop it, Stanford. No, I don't think so. I think it. Like I told you last week, you know, I struggled with linebackers when I started, and then Ted and Reggie and John Dorsey helped me out a lot with that in terms of writing and like what they were looking at. Safety is always a hard position in college football because they're not really involved very often. So now you can kind of get to these cut-ups that we discussed. You can watch and play point of attack plays, that sort of thing. And I would say those two positions over the years are positions that I've had to, you know, work at and study harder. But being able to be around people like yourself and like ask the questions and that helps a ton, you know. The quarterbacks, like right away, that whole group of people that we were around were, you know, I mean, like the Coach Holmgren and Andy Reid and John Gruden and Mariucci and, you know, Marty Morningwick and then going to Kansas City with, doggone it, I'm sorry.
You got a lot of names in your head right now.
Yeah. Shoot. Anyway, this talented, really talented quarterback people early on that were like, okay, this is the way it is, 1 through 5, and then you hit this, and then being able to be around different types of quarterbacks has really helped. And like I've told you guys before, we just have not, for one reason or another. It's a position you have to be really, really careful about reaching for.
Yeah. How hard is it to gauge O linemen? I remember when Tom Cable was here and we interviewed him, and he was talking about, you know, the way they're taught at the college level. Even the number of years ago when we spoke to him, he's like, by the time they get here, it's like you're starting over. Like they don't, the way they're taught is almost foreign. You were talking about he's just as well off taking a defensive player and turning him into an O lineman, which seemed like a stretch, but. What do you think? Is it hard to evaluate O linemen at the college level because of what they're not being asked to do, I guess, in the way Tom Cable talked about?
Well, they just don't exist. Like, you know, we've been going through a phase where we've talked about it's just more fun to play on the defensive line, right? So, you know, you just, for one reason or another, the majority, like the lesser athletes, end up playing on the offensive line. But that being said, it's the one position where you have to have the cohesion and they have to play as one. And so, you know, the intangibles that go into that position, the selflessness, the toughness, the brain, the instincts, the eyes, the communication skills, that stuff really, really has to stand out just as much or more so than the athlete. I would say it's easier now to identify the really good athletes because, again, you can see the difference in when these guys test the defensive lineman compared to the offensive lineman. And that's just the way football's been going.
Whenever I talk to my buddies that are O linemen, intelligence always comes up. That offensive linemen, everybody assumes that they're smart, but not necessarily.
Dave doesn't, clearly.
I don't. I think they're dumb. What about the Wunderlich test? Has that gone away or is that still?
No, it's still wrong.
Still a big part of it?
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, there's still psychological testing that different teams use different companies, and so it's still a big part of, you know, what we're doing.
I would think this,
and it's just an alert. It's not, you know, it's to give you another set of questions to, you know, do more research. If a guy has, just because a guy has a really high test score doesn't mean he's real high football intelligence. You know, I worked with a guy that coached at Brown that was like, hey, look, I guess it, like, we're building rocket ships to, you know, we're rep guys, so
yeah,
you know. And there's guys that still need to go out and walk through, and everybody learns differently. So that's what I'm excited with. This staff is really cool.
They're teachers.
They're so into the different, like, hey, this is how Dave learns, and, you know, this is how Bob learns, and this is how, you know, Dave Pearson takes in this information. Yeah. So,
is there anything you lean on now as an evaluator of talent that you didn't years past? Like, now I really focus on the interview more than I did, or I focus more, or I focus less on the Wunderlich than I used to. Now my focus is more about how they respond to this.
Great question. Yeah, the person, that's a great – sorry, I interrupted you.
No. Yeah.
I would have apologized to you, too, if you would have interrupted me. It's not just because of
I don't think so.
It's just
I
not
don't
just
think
because
so.
We've become better friends over the last several weeks.
I guess.
No. During COVID, you know, everything we did on Zoom – and the more, you know, we did more. We had to do more and figure out a way. And so the Zoom interviews with the scouts do a phenomenal job. The coaches, you know, obviously this coaching staff, a lot of guys, you know, some college guys, and everybody's went through the COVID deal. So, and coming from different places, so their ability to just, everybody's so comfortable on it now. And so you can sit there and literally, we could sit there on the weekends and be studying and, you know, have an interview going and be like, well, have you seen the interview with Dave yet? No, let's watch the interview with Dave. Yeah. 'Cause there's a couple, something stood out there. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, now there's a little alert. Okay. 'Cause you know, look, the bottom line is once we have these guys in the building, we're still going to be learning them. You know, I mean,
Right. We've
had guys that have left and come back and we're still learning the personality, you know, so that you're never truly, you know, we never feel like we have it just locked up and we're going to do everything that it takes in this building. To, you know, with the support staff, I've mentioned it, you know, a ton of times. There's so many people here to help these guys be the best they can possibly be. But we're going to constantly be trying to learn these guys. So being able to see these interviews and be able to, oh, that might be an alert. Let's ask that question. Okay, so, yeah. So, and then, you know, I mean, maybe we'll fly a guy in just because of that. Like, hey, you know what? We saved 5 spots out of our 30 in case something pops up later in the process. sweet, now let's bring that guy in, do the study in, see how it goes.
I was listening to Belichick this morning, and he was talking about the same position that you've been in. You're drafting at the end of the draft because you've been so successful. And, you know, he was just kind of talking through, like, is there a different mentality or whatever? I know that you've said, even though there's 32 picks in the first round, that doesn't mean there's 32 first-rounders.
Right.
But just sort of your mentality. And now you're at 16, kind of in the middle. Last year you got number five. But is there challenges in that way, or kind of what's your mindset as far as, you know, those different positions in the first round?
Well, yeah, you know, on average, there's probably, you know, 15 to 20, depending on the year.
Your grade?
True, like, first round.
Yeah.
This guy's a first round graded player. So when you're in the 20s, late 20s, you're really picking in the second round anyway. So why not, you know, acquire another pick is kind of the way we've looked at it. You know, when we did the deal with Jamal, that was like, okay, two first-round picks. We're picking late. If you're acquiring a Pro Bowl player like Jamal, you're going to be giving up a first-round pick the following year to go from, I think we were like 26, to go all the way up to in the top five or top seven to get a player like that. So, you know, you're like, okay, well, we know we can acquire that sort of talent, so let's do that. But, yeah, the mentality is like, okay, you know what kind of caliber player you're getting. Now, how far back you're going to go, you know, where's your cutoff? Like, okay, now you can get into the third round pretty quick, too. Mm-hmm. You might only have, you know, 15 guys in the second round or 18 guys in the second round. So, and usually what happens the way it, you know, because I've been looking at a lot of this stuff now, too, like, okay, you can say, all right, well, you know, the quarterbacks are like, okay, 1 through 10, it's supposed to go, and it's pretty damn close. Then once you start getting into the teens, things kind of start getting kind of wonky, and then, you know, we call them upsets. The further you get away from that, then you're kind of like, all right, cool, like, here's our board, here we go, like, second, third day, like, okay, this is meat and potatoes now, this is like, these are the dudes. Mm.
Hey, you guys did something pretty cool. You brought in John Ryan for sign a one-day deal.
Yeah.
What goes into that, and would it ever happen for Dave Wyman?
Well, I don't think Dave's ever asked.
Did John ask?
Yeah, he asked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He said, I want to retire as a
doctor. Yeah, he said he didn't want to retire as a CFL player.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he said, I can't do that. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's like, hey, do we – and other players have asked in the past. It just depends on where we are with the roster because you have to carry him for a day. So it was really cool deal. His wife Sarah had a party for him across the street at Dino's. They were here at like noon, and they're like, "Hey, you want to come over to Dino's?" I was like, "No, it's noon."
Yeah,
dress.
See you in a few hours.
No. But they were there like at stopped to grab a pizza there at like 7:30, and they were still there. I was like, "You guys are Ubering, right?" No, it was fun. It was really, really cool. Really cool thing to do. It meant a lot to him, and I was really happy for him. He always reminds me, and he's been fired twice in the NFL, and that I was the only person to do it. So, and then,
what an honor.
The positive thing is that Reggie and I signed him in Green Bay, and he punted in the same place that you worked out. So,
yeah,
we signed him there.
I was hoping that, like, if I did it, maybe there'd be a clerical error and you'd sign me for the veteran minimum.
Dave would hold you to it. He'd say,
sorry, man.
Yeah. Contract's a contract.
You signed it.
You're on the hook.
No, we wouldn't do that. No, I just had the standard retirement. No, just send in the letter. That's all. Doesn't matter. So you're not getting any sleep, it sounds like.
No, I was, and then that happened, and I was like, why am I up so early? I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It was the radio show. I'm so nervous about doing the radio show today.
Yeah,
okay. We're imposing.
That's why I'm up.
So there's something about Salk and his producer having a 200-yard race,
yes,
apparently.
Okay, yes.
And so what do you have to add? Have you scouted
him?
So
I'm really concerned. I'm going to use the words concerned. I'm going to use those a lot. I'm very concerned about Salk's preparation. Okay. I'm not sure he's been constructing a proper plan for his.
What is it? 200-yard race?
Is it a 200-yard?
Yeah, 2 miles.
It's not 2 miles.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just worried. Very worried.
You're worried about
him? For him, yeah.
Okay.
I'm definitely going with Mora. I mean. I haven't hung out with Mora very much, but I've had a couple of beers with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You I'm know. Going Mora.
Yeah.
I'm just so concerned. You know, he uses the word concerned so much. I have like a 20-minute gap in the morning, you know, on my way, and I don't know. I put myself through it. I think he knows it. Oh, it's 7:20. Maybe we should
talk about
the roster construction. So concerned.
Well, we'll see how he runs.
I'm concerned about his hamstrings.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you listen to his ads, he lost like 75 pounds in 4 hours. So he used to be a parade float, and now he's a stick figure. It's amazing how quickly that happened for him. So he might be really, really fast. And
this is really going on, though. I thought they were just kind of like bantering back and forth.
Yeah, I hadn't heard.
I heard about it from Dave. So yeah. I don't get up that early. I don't hear those things.
So hopefully there's not a pulled hamstring.
Oh, I said 7:20. I meant 5:20. Yeah, I'm usually coming to work at 5:20.
That's right.
Sorry,
that's right.
I apologize.
First one in the building. Yeah. First one in the building. John, we appreciate you, man. We'll next week's going to be fun.
Yeah. So are we doing it at the same time and all that?
As far as I know, we are.
Okay. Cool. So I'll tell you guys exactly what's going on then next Thursday.
Oh, cool.
Perfect.
Sweet. Yeah, we won't tell.
Okay.
And nobody listens. You know,
okay. Because this still is the nest, right, Dave?
Yeah. Okay. We're in the tree.
We're in the tree.
Trust tree.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, cool.
Then we'll go to Olive Garden after. It'll be good.
It'll be maybe something we didn't even know about. Yeah.
John, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great evening.
There you go, John Schneider.
Hear Wyman and Bob every afternoon, 2 to 7.